And now, friends, we enter into the time for the message. Won't you join me in a moment of prayer? Holy One, may the words of this message today bring hope, bring comfort, bring inspiration, and bring each one of us closer to the presence we call God. Amen. So William Wright, whom most of you know, a member of the congregation, long time, shared a small book of poetry with me by one Malcolm Gite entitled The Singing Bowl. This book takes its title from a poem of the same name, and it begins with the advice, with this advice, it begins, begin the song exactly where you are. Remain within the world of which you're made. Call nothing common in the earth or air. And although this advice might seem to be rather self-evident and intuitive, where else does one begin, if not right where one finds oneself? Whether it be a song, a poem, a piece of work, a romance, a meal, a quilt, or a sermon. But it is rather good advice. It is necessary to begin where one is. My homiletics professor in seminary, Paul Wilson, who many of you know and who has preached for our community rather often, wrote a book that is well known in esoteric preaching circles called The Four Pages of the Sermon. It is a primer that provides an outline for the preacher to preach, a way where to begin, where you are, and to move from where you are to where you should be, want to be, need to be. And those four pages are in order: trouble in the Bible, trouble in the world, grace in the Bible, and lastly, grace in our world. So I'm going to follow those four pages today. Now, I haven't done this since I was in seminary, so you be the judge of how well this goes. So, first, trouble in the Bible. We sure don't have to look far to find the trouble in our first reading this morning, so ably read by Jim. The psychic pain, the mental anguish just jumps off the page of this psalm. The trouble we find in this psalm is a soul in torment. This is trouble with a capital T. Nouns and adjectives roll from the verses like a thesaurus of synonyms. Sorrow, misery, wasting, horror, scorn, terror, and broken. This is one in not so quiet, desperate circumstances. This is one who sees enemies on every corner and paranoia pervades his waking hours, justified or not. One gets the sense, or at least I do in sitting with this psalm, that the enemies are very real to him, but they're not physically pursuing him. They are not primarily flesh and blood, not of matter, but of mind. Here is one in a state of disrepair, in a state of despair. And we know nothing of the life events leading up to this prose, to this plea. We only know that cut to the core, the psalmist has reached the point where preoccupation has trumped perspective. This psalm, like many in the Psalter, reflects without dogma, telling unvarnished tales of the trials of human life. Trouble, indeed. And I do not imagine, in fact, I know, we need not look far or scratch the surface much to find the trouble in lives in our time, to find the trouble in any life. We marked VE Day this week, victory in Europe, and we can honor the sacrifice, we can do justice to the victory, yet wrapped always in the honor and always tinging the victory, there is pain, there is always the loss, always the trouble. Listening to the witness in the press conference this week of those living on the streets without shelter in this crisis, hearing of the addiction and mental anguish that is the reality for so many, hearing of the hurt we do to one another and to ourselves in Nova Scotia and the young men in the United States out jogging We could each write a psalm of nouns and adjectives that would roll from the verses like a thesaurus of synonyms for trouble. Into every life, a little rain must fall, they say. But for some, it seems more of a deluge. But there is not one of us who could not tell the tale of our lived share of trouble, of living this human life. Trouble in our world. And in the center of the trouble, in the midst of the deluge, the psalmist calls out to God, seeking refuge in the only place he feels left available to him. Be a rock of refuge for me, he cries, a strong fortress to save me. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. And slowly, steadily, through the verses of this psalm, the plea turns into praise. That wallowing turns to wondering. That self-pity and tortured psyche turns into trust. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. And finally, by the conclusion of the psalm, the trust has turned into advice. He's turning outward again, advice to the hearer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Grace in the Bible. And for us, in our time, seeking to be hearers of the word and doers also, who seek sense where there does not seem to be any, who seek answers where there are only ever more questions, the trajectory is the same. Any who have been part of AA or NA or spent time on a therapy couch, lived or are living through a dark night of the soul, hit rock bottom, or beset by trouble of whatever form, and that is all of us. There comes a time when we must realize we cannot do it alone, we are not in control, when seeking refuge, opening to trust, simply becomes the only and the obvious choice. Now, saying this does not make it so. Only living it does. In my own life, and I'm sure you could relate your own experiences, in my own life, there was a time when I spent most of my waking hours scribbling furiously in dingy coffee shops on paper napkins, looking for a way through. And the more I scribbled, the deeper the hole, and the more desperate I became. It was only when I put the pen down and cried out for help, put the pen down, and finally knew I could not do it alone and did not want to anymore. Then, and only then, could refuge give way to trust, to beginning exactly where I was. Only then could God find a way in to my aching soul. And so, the singing bowl, the poem, in all its entirety. Begin the song exactly where you are. Remain within the world of which you're made. Call nothing common in the earth or air. Accept it all and let it be for good. Start with the very breath you breathe in now, this moment's pulse, this rhythm in your blood. And listen to it ringing soft and low. Stay with the music, words will come in time. Slow down your breathing. Keep it deep and slow. Become an open singing bowl whose chime is richness rising out of emptiness and timelessness resounding into time. And when the heart is full of quietness, begin the song exactly where you are. Grace in our world. And so we finish this sermon this morning on this Mothering Sunday with the trouble and grace in the verses from John that Jason read for us. And I speak of both trouble and grace at the same time here, as it is in the trouble that Jesus offered grace in that time and for our time. In this time following Easter, we are hearing Jesus speak to his disciples of how to live as Jesus taught, when he is no longer with them. In this time following Easter, we are hearing Jesus speak to us of how to live as Jesus taught when Jesus is no longer with us. The disciples sought practical, concrete answers. Show us the Father, says Philip. Show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus offers them and us his lived experience of refuge in God and invites their participation in that presence. We do not know where we are going, wails Thomas. How can we know? And Jesus offers them and us his lived experience of trust in God and assumes their participation within that presence. From Thomas Keating, a description of that presence, that refuge, that trust, that house of belonging. This presence is so immense, yet so humble, awe-inspiring yet so gentle, limitless yet so intimate, tender and personal. I know that I am known. Everything in my life is transparent in this presence. It knows everything about me, all my weaknesses, brokenness, sinfulness, and still loves me infinitely. This presence is healing, strengthening, refreshing just by its presence. It is non-judgmental, self-giving, seeking no reward, boundless in compassion. It is like coming home to a place I should never have left, to an awareness that was always somehow there, but which I did not recognize. And when we recognize that presence in our lives, when the words eternal life become a synonym for God, then we begin to realize that we belong to one another. We begin to internalize the teachings, the ways of Jesus, not because we have been told, but because we have lived the trouble and have uncovered the grace. Find rest there first, please, and then do the work of the one who sent us, the work of our lives, in politics, in policy, in economics, in ecology, and in theology. May it be so. Amen.